Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 191 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltak, and thanks for joining me again. Today on the show, we actually have a lot of stuff to go through, so it might be fun. We're going to have Tracy Wilson on, of course, and we're going to chat about National Range Day. She's got a report of the National Range Day event that she was involved in. We were also going to talk about some viral video of the of our newest public safety minister, Gary Ananda Sangari. And the minister had a tough time, let's put it that way, in the House of Commons. And there's a lot of footage floating around of it. Where do you see that? That's going to be a little bit shocking. I also have an interview with Sarah Dotsert from Unify Canada. Her and her group have been doing some man on the street interviews at Canadian universities. And she did, her and her friends did one about guns. So it was kind of interesting. And I've done that kind of thing myself. So I thought it would be interesting to have Sarah on and kind of get her to share her experience. So that should be entertaining at least. Anyway, all that and more, CCFR Radio starts right now. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. And thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. Ready, aim, shop. Bullseye North is where passion meets precision. Discover a huge selection of top-notch rifles, accessories, and ammo. Whether you're perfecting your aim at the range or gearing up for hunting season, Bullseye North has you covered with free shipping on orders over $300, including ammo. Some exclusions apply. Check out bullseyenorth.com and remember to subscribe to their newsletter, bullseyenorth.com. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. All right, we are back. So I've got a couple of things to go over with you before we bring Tracy on. The first is an update on CCFR versus Canada. We have completed the application that we're going to submit to the Supreme Court to see if they'll take our case. That application will be submitted Friday or Monday. So I'm recording this on Wednesday, right? So if you are watching the podcast as soon as it's uploaded, this is probably Thursday for you. So Friday or Monday, that's when it's submitted. At the end of Monday is actually the deadline. So obviously we don't want to get right up against it. So it'll probably be Friday. Anyway, we'll see if the Supreme Court is interested in taking our case. We think that we've made a compelling application, and we will definitely keep you updated on that. Next, I have an interview with Sarah Dotsert, who is part of a small group that she's put together called Unify Canada. And so our social media master, Brandon, had found this video, and it was a man on the street interview, and it was about guns. And it was at Waterloo University in Ontario. And, you know, it's always interesting watching that kind of stuff. I've done some man on the street stuff, if you guys remember way back, and it's an interesting experience because it's a live debate, right? And I think Sarah does a great job, and it's actually kind of entertaining to watch on a couple of different levels. So anyway, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you just a quick clip of the video. It's like a snippet of, I think the video itself is five or six minutes, the original video. But I just like snipped 40 seconds of it just to give you the idea. And then we're going to talk to Sarah about the experience of having to cross swords with kids on a university campus about guns. So anyway, check it out.
Do you think there should be a permanent ban on guns?
Yes.
I do believe so.
Not in that way, no.
What do you guys think about a permanent gun ban?
I think it would be nice.
There's never a scenario where, like, we need guns to resolve issues in this world.
What do you think, though, about the indigenous peoples and stuff that need their weapons for hunting and their just their lifestyles? A lot of Inuit actually need weapons to protect themselves, but also for hunting.
I see. I think there should just be more regulation.
They still have other weapons to do the crimes.
Do you think then it doesn't speak to the problem of the instrument itself, the gun in this case? Do you think it speaks more to the fact that we have a problem with human condition?
I think it is a humanity problem, maybe, not so much a gun problem.
All right, we are back, and via the internet, we have Sarah Dotsert from Unify Canada. How's it going, Sarah?
Great. How are you, Rod?
I'm squeaking by. Thank you for asking. Now, we just showed your video, and it's very interesting for so many reasons. I think everyone can agree on that. So you did these man on the street interviews at a specific university in Ontario. And I think the first question that I've got is, why did you choose to talk about gun control? And how did you choose the questions that you were asking these kids?
Yeah, so I've lived my whole life in the country, and we have a homestead here, so guns are kind of part of our lifestyle. And when I see the Liberal government threatening more gun control, more gun bans, it's concerning to me. I don't want us to spiral into an authoritarian sort of government. And like, that's how I view it. And I wanted to see if young people on these very liberal university campuses held that same view. And I'm sorry to say they didn't, but the conversations were definitely interesting, and they were actually interested in my point of view as well.
Well, that's encouraging, because these are either their current voters. Like, I think typically university students don't vote because they're busy, but they will at some point get interested in that and vote. So I think it's it was a good call to do that, because these are the future leaders and future voters of Canada.
Yeah.
Obviously, we saw a variety of different responses to your questions. Which ones kind of shocked you the most or surprised you the most?
Well, a lot of them were what I expected, like in support of a gun ban. The one that was extremely shocking was when one young gentleman, he stated the very surprising thing that, oh, owning a gun should be based on your ethnicity.
We actually, yeah, you're legally allowed to buy a gun, but you have to go through the proper vetting and training.
I mean, I think it depends on your ethnicity.
Why's that?
Good question. Good question. All right, have a good day.
That was extremely shocking to me. But it was funny. He couldn't back that up with any information. He ended the interview. But the rest of them were very traditional, more liberal answers.
Yeah. Did you find, obviously we only saw a video that was around 3 minutes, but I'm sure you were at this for, I don't know, how long were you at it for?
Well, when we're on universities filming, it's usually 3 hours.
Yeah. So
we can find enough people. Yeah.
Yeah. So 3 hours. So there was a lot that we didn't see. Was the consensus, pro gun control? I just want to get that straight. Was it pro gun control, or was it pro firearm ownership?
It was very pro gun control, for sure. Most of them were advocating for a complete gun ban. There was only one who said that wouldn't be completely desirable, but yeah.
Yeah. Did anyone, I'm not expecting university students to really understand this issue, because it's complicated. That's one of the things that we have going against us in this whole gun debate, I guess, right? That's been raging on for decades in Canada. Did anyone come up with anything reasonable that you thought, you know what, that makes some sense? Because I'm always listening, I always listen to critics, and I always listen probably more to people that disagree, because I'm always trying to hone my arguments and maybe learn something I didn't know. Like, did anyone surprise you that way?
So the one that was maybe more reasonable in his estimation of gun control was the one gentleman who said that there shouldn't be a complete ban. And his idea was that, oh, you should only be allowed, if you have a specific use for the weapon, then you should be allowed to use it and to own it. A lot of the arguments that he was using, though, for more gun control were ones that you probably typically heard. Like, oh, if you own a gun, then you're going to do something violent with it, which is obviously not the case. But that's where he was coming from, that he thought that if someone owns a firearm, they need to be heavily regulated because they're probably going to use it in anger or something. Which, like, that's not the case, coming from someone who shoots quite regularly. That's not the case. No one just uses a gun in anger. But he was just... He's maybe more reasonable than the other ones, but the arguments that I heard were fairly typical.
So you're telling me that he thought there should be a reason, I guess, like hunting, mm-hmm. sport shooting, collecting inheritance, things like that, even defense of life under the right circumstances. And he thought it should be heavily regulated, like maybe a licensing mm-hmm. system, sign off from your spouse, mandatory safety training, criminal record check every 24 hours, storage transportation laws, stuff like that. Is that what he was getting at, do you think?
Yeah, it was along that line, but yeah.
Well, isn't that interesting, right? That's existed for over 30 years in Canada. But
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you heard all manner of strange responses. And I think sort of to sum up what we've been talking about, you have young people, certainly at the university level, that have received a lot of information, as it were, probably largely almost entirely inaccurate for them to form an opinion. And I guess the idea is, how do we combat that? Do you have any ideas for me or any ideas that you're going to roll out? It's just, how do we fix that, I think, is the question.
Yeah, well, the big issue is that they just don't have enough information. They're not educated on the whole issue and they don't hear the other side of it. They're on these liberal campuses and all they hear day in, day out is the liberal talking points of like, oh, firearms are bad. But they don't hear the other side of the issue. They don't have the conversations with people on the right that own firearms and use them and have a legitimate use for them. So they, like, their only contact is in the negative light. The solution really is just to get them better educated on it. And part of what we're doing at Unify Canada is to educate these students. I wish I could say there's one complete solution to like the lack of information that they have, but it's going to take a lot of work to educate these people. And like, I honestly don't know where to start with this, but it's going to take a bit of work, I think.
Yeah. It's a difficult question, isn't it? Right. Cause how do you out propagandize the government of a G7 nation? Right. So it's really difficult. And I actually have one more question that popped into my head. Did you find that the overwhelming majority of the people that were, oh yeah, you know, there's no reason to have a gun, they should all be banned, all the rest of that stuff, did you find that those people were really confident in their opinion, that it was an informed opinion, it needed to be done, really confident? Did you find that?
No, they weren't very confident in their opinion. That's what they believed, but they were willing to hear the other side and change their opinion a little bit. Like for the most part, these people were quite reasonable. I just think with better education, we could sway some of them to hold more reasonable and critical opinion. I didn't see any of them that were super confident on it. And in the case of the one gentleman, his opinion changed when I gave him more information.
Yeah, that's surprising to me. And that's great. That's really encouraging for me to hear, because I deal with typically people that have a very strong opinion and they're entirely misinformed. Okay. So that's one of the most frustrating parts of this conversation that we're having, you know, for the last, whatever, 30 years in Canada. But that's definitely encouraging. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's all my questions for now. Where can people find you and Unify Canada?
Yeah, so you can find us on X, Instagram, and YouTube. We post as regularly as we can, and most of our content is most of our content is like these men on the street ideas.
Well, that's good work. I did a little bit of that in the past myself, and it's always entertaining to entertaining to watch, and it's always thought provoking because you're seeing the process that somebody goes through, right? When they're asked these questions, and I think they're thought provoking, and it's valuable content. So certainly, I appreciate that you're out there doing that kind of stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you for coming on, and make sure that that you guys check out Unify Canada. Awesome. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Are you ready to fight for your ability to legally own and use firearms in Canada and save hundreds of dollars in hunting and shooting merchandise? Download the CCFR mobile app right now. Keep up with what's going on in the community, watch the CCFR podcast, and get exclusive discounts from dozens of gun stores and other CCFR business members. Download it right now from Google Play, the Apple App Store, or the cancel-proof progressive web app. The CCFR mobile app, free to download right now.
All right, via the internet machine, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
Hey, Gil Taco, what's shaking?
Not much, man. You know, I can hear the people in the next office, and I don't know what they think. It goes on over here.
They probably think you're watching like Castaway or something.
Yeah, or the Flintstones, right? They might think I'm saying Wilma, if you remember.
Maybe. Wilma. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah. Anyway, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good. I keep thinking, you know, things will wind down, but they just get crazier as we go. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, they might even get crazier still, but we'll see.
Yes.
All right. So we got a lot of stuff to go through today. We might as well get started and race our way through it. The first thing is there was an interesting story from my side of the country. The Penticton Shooting Sports Association, which is a range that is on leased land that's leased from the government. So they seem to be having a bit of a problem.
Yeah, that's right. So the Penticton Shooting Sports Association leases 15 hectares of land from the government, and they've been doing so for 42 years. Now, they've spent decades building it up and developing it. They've got a beautiful range there and, you know, all that goes with that. And the government is set to cancel that lease at the end of this year. So the government has a new mandate where any land agreements that they have that is not making them money, they will not be renewing them. So if they're not generating a profit, it's over. And now the club says they'll never be able to rebuild a club of this caliber, no pun intended, anywhere again. And it appears that the feds are saying that they will be turning over that leased land to local First Nations as part of reconciliation. So I don't know what can be done about this, but I think it is a stark warning to any clubs out there that are on leased Crown land to check the date of your contract, because I don't think it will be renewed. So
yeah,
terrible.
Well, you got to start planning for that, right? So, you know, if your lease is coming up in 3 years, you just got to start planning.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is a little bit of fun. So everyone that is concerned about politics and obviously firearm related politics is aware that we have a new public safety minister, and that is Gary Anandasangri. And
yeah,
he's having a little bit of trouble. And I in fact have even done, I have an interview as soon as we're done here on CKNW radio in Vancouver about this specific topic, because it actually made some pretty big waves, and it actually resulted in some viral videos as well. He was basically lit up, completely grilled by Andrew Lawton in something called the Committee as a Whole. So a couple of things. What is Committee of the Whole, and what exactly happened, Ms. Wilson?
Yeah, this has been going viral. So Committee of the Whole I see a lot of people talking about how superior it is to question period. And I will say that I agree. So what it is the Committee of the Whole means Committee of the Whole House. And it's a meeting of a legislative or deliberative assembly. So the House of Commons, the MPs, using procedural rules that are based on those of the committee, except that in the case of this, the committees include all the members of the assembly. So normally you have a standing committee where you'll have six or eight members of the House, MPs, who form that committee. This involves the entire House. Everybody's on it. Normally, this is to debate issues like estimates or taxation bills. It is very exciting to watch because it usually includes a rapid fire format. And yeah, there was a couple of MPs that focused on gun control when it was their opportunity to speak. And the Minister of Public Safety faced 2 hours of these rapid fire questions. So newly elected MP Andrew Lawton from London faced off with the minister on a line of questioning that sort of laid bare the lack of knowledge and experience he's got on this file. I think you've got a clip of what happened.
Yeah, well, I have a very abbreviated clip just for in the interest of time, but we'll show that and we'll come right back.
Vice Chair, does the minister know what an RPAL is?
No, minister.
I do not.
Remember.
Does the minister know what the CFSC is?
I'm a minister.
I do not, no.
Member.
I'll stipulate, Chair, that is the Canadian's firearm safety course that all gun owners in Canada have to do to get their firearms license. Has the minister ever done the Canadian firearm safety course?
The honourable minister.
Speaker, it's my third week on the job. No, I have not.
The honourable member.
Does the minister know what safety classes and safety demands are expected of law-abiding Canadian gun owners?
The honourable minister.
This is not about law-abiding gun owners, Mr. Speaker.
The honourable member.
How can the minister make that claim when he doesn't know the basic fundamentals of law-abiding gun ownership in this country, Chair?
Now, I get it. The minister is new in this role. He's only been there about a month, 3 weeks to a month now at this point. And I get it. He's not going to be an expert on everything, but these are some of the most basic elements of the second most important file under his purview. He's responsible for the Canadian Firearms Program and doesn't even know what a firearms license is called. So yeah, there's a lot he's got to learn there. I know he's doubled down even today at time of recording this. He was accusing Andrew Lawton of using Adobe to alter that video. But if you read the Hansard, that is exactly how it went down. That is not an edited video. It is clipped. So yeah, tough go for the minister.
Yeah. Well, you know what? A couple important things. Number one, it probably was unwise for Ananda Sangari to accuse Andrew Lawton of using Adobe, because that implies it's not for editing videos. There's an Adobe tool that made a lot of controversial news. I don't know. It was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, but Adobe had developed this tool that can mimic anyone's voice using a very small sample and does some other things like that for deepfakes. So, you know, you never know. Minister Ananda Sangari maybe didn't mean that it was an actual deep faked video that Andrew Lawton had created, but that sounds to me like that's what he was implying. So, nope.
Yeah.
It looked exactly like it looked in the clip. Like it was pretty bad. And it wasn't just Andrew Lawton either. It was Frank Caputo, too, who's the critic, public safety critic for the Conservative Party. Even the Bloc got on the action. So you can always find those videos on the House of Parliament website under the Hansard, and you can search for those videos. I did actually, I think it was yesterday, and there were no videos from the 45th Parliament. So I don't, maybe it was just a temporary thing, but typically you can find that stuff there.
Yeah, there's also no committees yet either.
Sorry?
There's also no committees yet either.
Yeah. So anyway, just kind of interesting. But yeah, the minister doesn't know anything about the file whatsoever. He claimed that it was like, well, I've only been on the job 3 weeks. It's like, well, that's not really much of an excuse, right? I mean, you and I were talking about it and you're like, well, why didn't a staffer send him at least a one pager?
Yeah. A one pager with basic information on the things under his purview and on his list of, a priority. Firearms is the second most important part of his file. So
yeah. So yeah.
Anyways, I have reached out to the minister because it doesn't have to be this way. And yeah, I have yet to hear back, but hopefully Minister Hannah Sangari takes us up on our offer and we'd be happy to sit with him and explain some of these things to him.
Yeah. And you know, the other two, yeah. There's a couple more things I just want to mention before we move on is in his, one of the things that he'd said in this, if you watch the extended clip, is that he said, this isn't a, none of this is about law abiding citizens, like about the buyback, right?
Right.
And it's, and of course, Andrew Lawton is great because Andrew Lawton is, has high verbal acuity and he knows exactly what he's talking about, which is a great combination, certainly for us. But it's like Bill C-21 has nothing to do with the buyback, really. It's a budget item.
Yes.
And on top of that, Bill C-21 was like 95% about law-abiding gun owners, right? Affects law-abiding gun owners and almost nothing for criminals. And the buyback is entirely about law-abiding gun owners. So I don't know. I just think, you know, I know we had a really hard time with the election. It wasn't the outcome that we wanted. We have no choice but to say, okay, well, this is what we're stuck with, at least for a few years. You know, how do we work with this? Well, you never know. Maybe things are going to be different. But it's like Marco Mendicino all over again. Mendicino, I should say.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But it's off to a very, very rough start. And it's made national news. I think both the Globe and Mail and the National Post both put out, you know, legacy media stories on this. So
I'm getting in media requests for it.
Right. Yeah.
That wasn't even there. All right.
Oh, boy.
Let's move on. So this story is something quite emotional and it has a tie-in with the CCFR, but a member of the firearms community had passed away and we're talking about Ken Thompson. And anyway, why don't you kind of give the overall gist of this story?
Yeah, this one's this stuff is hard for me. Ken Thompson reached out to us after his dad, Darren, had passed away at the age of 79. And it's funny, I searched Darren's name in my email and I had quite a few emails back and forth with him. But he reached out to us. He said his dad was a lifelong outdoorsman. He had a passion for all things outdoors, you know, firearms, hunting, fishing, all that stuff. And he wanted to include something about us in his dad's obituary. So I went and I read the obituary and it reads at the bottom, as an expression of sympathy, donations to the Kincardine and Community Healthcare Foundation, the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters, OFA, and the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights, CCFR, would be appreciated by the family. And when I saw that, I replied back to Ken's email. And I said, I don't know if I could ever put into words how meaningful that is to us, because what an absolute honor it is when you think that there are people out there that in their final moments, their final gesture of generosity, they're thinking about us. And I'll never get used to that. It's almost feels foreign to me. And I promised him that we would absolutely honor his dad. I know where he's coming from. I also lost my dad a couple of years ago. I told him it does get better, but it never really goes away. So, and it was just very meaningful.
It is. And we've had this kind of thing happen a few times. We even had a CCFR member asked to be buried in a CCFR t-shirt, if you remember.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, his trap outfit, which featured a CCFR t-shirt. And that's just really incredible. And that's why, you know, I say all the time that it is an absolute privilege to do this work on behalf of gun owners because, you know, our organization means a lot to a lot of people. And that is the ultimate compliment, the ultimate endorsement. So
yes,
keeps us working hard and doing everything we possibly can to honor the people that believe in this organization, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So
that's exactly right. That's exactly how I feel.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Darren, for all that. And our deepest condolences for the loss of your dad. Now, National Range Day just happened.
Yeah.
And we had a pretty good showing of events across the country. I think maybe a little bit better than last year. Maybe there's some recovery, because last year was a little bit hectic, but certainly you did your thing at your home range. Why don't you tell us how that went?
Yeah, I can never just do anything normal like everybody else. Of course, I have to be a complete lunatic and blow it out of control. But over 100 clubs across the country celebrated National Range Day. There was a variety of events. I saw some youth shoots, some women's days, some open houses. Here in Ottawa at my home club, Eastern Ontario Shooting Club, we partnered together. This is sort of the CCFR flagship event. But we had over 500 people come through the gates of the club, and we used a clicker to count them. So we know that we're right. They came through the doors, they tried the shooting sports. We had vendors, we had a barbecue going, we had an ice cream truck. And of course we had my infamous bouncy castle park, you know, the envy of Ottawa. But I have to say, the most incredible part of National Range Day for me actually started a couple of days before the event. And I saw this post on Facebook, and it featured a little girl in a pink sweater that we use in a lot of our marketing materials, like literally in the National Range Day poster. There's a little girl in a pink sweater. It's from years ago. She was shooting a maple seed with her family. And it turns out that event happened right here at my home club, EOSC. And it was just such a great picture. I reached out to Kelly Lynn and I asked her if she could get a hold of the girl's parents and ask permission for me to use the photo in some of our marketing stuff. And the parents were delighted. They said, of course. Well, that little girl, you know, time doesn't stand still. That little girl is now almost grown up. She is a very big girl now. She's 15. And I didn't realize it was her until I saw her dad share the National Range Day poster alongside some pictures of her now. I didn't realize that that's who that little girl was. But the reason he made a post about her is she's all grown up. She's on her way to the United Kingdom to represent her country on the world stage as a member of the Team Canada Youth Rifle Shooting Team. So she volunteered at our National Range Day at the Kids Range and mentored all the kids to come out and shoot. She had her competition rifles there. She was in her Team Canada jersey, like her uniform. They're doing a fundraiser. You can learn all about Avery and the whole national team and how you can support them on the CAPRA website. That's Canadian Precision Rifle Association. But it was just such a cool experience to see, you know, this little kid from years ago, and now there she is mentoring other children on the line, and she's headed off to represent her country. And to me, when people ask, why do you put in the effort to introduce children to the shooting sports? Well, it's for kids like Avery. Now she's growing up, realizing her dreams, and she's off to represent her nation. So that was really, really cool for me. And I think definitely the highlight of all my National Range Days so far. And I wanted to extend a huge thank you to every club, every business, every volunteer, every Canadian who participated in any way in National Range Day. And I want you to save the date. Next year's date is pretty cool, actually. It's always the first Saturday in June. So next year it's June 6, 2026. So the save the date is 6/6/26. So yeah, pretty cool. It was just a beautiful, wonderful day in Ottawa. The sun was shining, the bugs were biting, and everybody was out shooting. So it was wonderful.
That's awesome. That's a cool story.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. Just gives me warm fuzzies.
Yeah, I like the cool stories once in a while rather than government buffoonery and corruption.
Exactly. Exactly.
Government skullduggery, which is they're engaged in that quite a bit. So
there's enough of that. Yeah. Yeah. So some feel good stuff feels good.
That's right. Okay. So the CCFR's annual general meeting is coming up like in 2 weeks. It's online. Yeah. We made that decision. If you guys remember, in not the last podcast, but the one before, we made that decision to redirect funds elsewhere, which is, we'll talk more about that in upcoming podcasts where those funds are being diverted to. But anyway, it's coming in a couple of weeks and it's online. So what are some details people need to know?
Yeah. So it's going to be held online on Saturday, June 28th at noon Ottawa time. So depending where you are, you'll have to check what time that is. You can expect departmental updates, the ever popular Rod report, some legal and financial updates from Michael Loberg, you have to register to attend. So if you should have gotten an email, all eligible members should have gotten an email to register. If you haven't seen it, check your spam folder. And if it's still not there, send us an email at info@ccfr.ca and we will make it right. But yeah, it's coming up. I miss having a good party just like everyone else, but I think this was the right decision. And I look forward to seeing everybody there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Last, but by no means least, in fact, I would say one of the most important parts of every podcast is the CCFR Field Officer of the Month. And for this month, well, actually, it's not this month. It's for May 2025. Or is it June?
No, it is for June. Yeah.
It's for June.
Yeah.
It is our great friend, Scott Bell from Vancouver Island. He's also a director.
Yeah, that's right. Scott is the director for BC. He's one of two. Of course, the president's the other one. He's been a longtime CCFR member, supporter, and volunteer. And despite having a relatively small team out there in BC and a super challenging work schedule, Scott's been reliably consistent, growing the CCFR in BC, showing up to events. And I'm going to leak some good news right now. He ran unopposed in his return bid for BC director for this upcoming AGM in 2 weeks. So the good news is BC will be well served because Scott's getting another term. So yeah. That's some Scott good news leaking.
Sorry, there. Go ahead.
Just leaking out the good news.
Yes. Yeah. I guess that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not supposed to tell those things, but that's okay.
Yeah. We'll bend the rules once in a while for things like this, but Scott Bell is awesome. Scott's been with us almost from the beginning, just I don't know, maybe a year or two in, and he does just a tremendous amount of work for the CCFR, and he's exactly what you would picture when you're thinking about someone that really dedicates a huge portion of their free time in doing something he's passionate about. So I know how much Scott does, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate it.
Yes.
So
Scott's
now,
great.
If anyone is unsure what Field Officer of the Month gets, you get a year's free subscription to Canadian Access to Firearms, graciously donated every month by our great friend, Donovan Dewis over there at CATF. You get a $100 promo code. You love those promo codes, don't you?
I sure do.
Wilson? Yeah.
Yep.
You have some kind of promo code experience.
A little bit, yeah.
You get the promo code, and of course, you get mentioned on the TV show and here on the podcast. And of course, I think that Donovan posts a picture of all of the Field Officers of the Month in the CATF as well. So that's what we have for our great friend Scott, as well as our thanks for all of his work.
Yes, absolutely. Scott is a true gentleman and a great ambassador for our sport and our organization.
Absolutely is. All right. I think we've covered the list.
We nailed it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the update and we'll see you in the next one.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right, everyone. That's going to do it for episode 191 of the CCFR Radio podcast. You know, I just want to share this with you before I let you go. This is the last episode of our regular schedule. We're going on to our summer schedule. After this one. So that means we're going to once a month, in and around once a month. So the next podcast is going to be July the 10th. So anyway, that gives us a little bit of time off. It also lets us catch up with all the things that we've pushed off over the election and Operation Pitchfork and all the other things that we've been occupied with. I have literally a list like this of things that that I should have done, but are not done. And even as us as an organization, a lot of things are just getting pushed off when we have these big projects. And that the summer schedule gives us an opportunity to catch up on a bunch of that stuff. So you may see a little bit of that actually popping up here and there. So anyway, all that to say, we will see you in about a month. July 10th is the next podcast. Take care, everyone, and we'll see you then.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.